Foreman, I'll be back with today's talking point. John J. Lennon is one of 2,300 inmates at New York's Attica Correctional Facility. He's doing 28 years to life for a murder committed in 2001. He's also the author of a recent op-ed piece in the New York Times. As one of 23 prisoners allowed to attend college classes, he'll get his associate's degree next month. We interviewed him recently about his vision for expanding education in prison by using TV.
Currently, the TV is not an education tool. It's an incapacitation tool. It's a tool to keep us kind of entertained in ourselves. So, you know, that's what the TV is for. It's kind of, but I propose that it could be used as an education tool if MOOCs, massive open online courses, were kind of like streamed onto the internal station, Channel 3, which are playing movies every day. I mean, there's nothing really educational on there. But what MOOCs will do is, well, you know, look what's on Channel 3. There's this interesting kind of lecture on from a Duke professor. It's talking about existentialism or philosophy. And, you know, believe it or not, some people will tune in. And after the lecture is over, what they're going to do is they're going to go on their gates, hand on their bars, and they're going to talk about it. And I envision that's what will happen. I'm not saying it's a silver bullet. But I'm thinking that, you know, there are a lot of people than just me that want education in prison.
Will prison administrators and correctional officers that Lennon calls COs get on board?
I think generally the administration, like kind of like I guess the penologists, people that study the administrators, really, they're for education in prison. It makes it a safer place. If I'm working on a paper, you know, I'm over here banging away on my typewriter. I have other things on my mind. I'm not kind of shucking and jiving in the prison yard. I think, you know, overall, they understand that it makes prison a safer place. If you have a group full of guys that kind of really have their eye on the prize and are really trying to change themselves. You know, as far as the COs, I mean, some of the COs, you know, they're working class guys and gals. I mean, they got to put their kids through college, and I think, you know, so obviously they can, you know, they wonder who's funding it. Currently, it's privately funded. It's not publicly funded. But I think that's where the conversation gets thick. It's who's going to fund this, and when you think of the public sector funding it, especially when college tuition nowadays has exploded, I think it's a tough sell sometimes. But that's why I actually think that the answers in the near future could be in the private sector.
Lennon told us how education has changed him during the first 14 years of his sentence of 28 years to life in prison.
I came into prison, you know, looking up to gangsters. You know, I look up to scholars and intellectuals now, like Doran Larson, like Tim Golden, like these people, Bill Keller, and all these Nicholas Kristof, all these kind of people, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists. I mean, I look up to these people now. How's it going to change my life? I mean, education has changed the view through which I view the world. I mean, I don't look up to gangsters anymore. I think it's a disgusting lifestyle. I didn't think like that when I came to prison 14 years ago. I thought in a disgusting way. I don't think like that today. And that's because of education. It's also because I'm sober and, you know, I'm a little in touch with my emotions a bit too, but I think education has a lot to do with that. So, I mean, education is everything. It really, like I said, changed the lens through which I view the world.
One of the people Lennon says he looked up to, we just heard this, is Doran Larson. He is a professor of English at Hamilton College, editor of the book Fourth City, Essays from the Prison in America. He teaches the creative writing workshop at Attica Prison, and he has worked with John Lennon. Doran Larson, thanks a lot for joining our program.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Is John Lennon an extraordinary person? He's obviously very articulate, very different from the person he describes himself as being when he first arrived in prison. Or is he right that everybody else could perhaps also show interest to be improved by access to higher education?
I think everybody else is a little bit too broad. For one thing, as most people know, or people who study realize, is the prisons have become the default mental health institutions in the United States. Since we close those institutions, those people generally are often wind up in the prison. You also have a lot of folks who are extremely high rate of literacy in prisons, and that's work that can be done inside. And most states actually have pretty decent GED programs to get people up to speed on that end. One of the things I think that John is speaking to is the fact that there is quite a big sector of the prison population that actually could join almost immediately into prison education programs, higher education programs. And I've been working in this field for a number of years, organized the college program at Attica and another one here in central New York. And one of the things that people remark upon who work in these programs over and over again is it seems almost impossible to create a program large enough to satisfy the desire, which pushes right against the public perception that people inside aren't interested in education, they aren't interested in changing their lives. That's a perception from the outside, which has been translated into practice over the last 30 or 40 years. And it's also, you know, I think worth note that from 1945 to 1973, there was a broad political consensus that prisons really should be about rehabilitation, and programs were there. They may have had their problems, but the general consensus was that that's what prisons should do. And we moved in the early 70s and into the 80s into a punishment mentality, and essentially we see the only sort of proper function of the prison is to be what's been called total incapacitation. No concern with what happens to people while they're inside, as long as they're simply kept from the outside. And I, you know, my conviction from reading literally hundreds and hundreds of essays from incarcerated people for the book project and electronic digital archive that I've been building, the American Prison Writing Archive, is that we can really see that population less as a complete negative, a simple drag on society, as an enormous untapped resource of entrepreneurial skill, of intellectual skill. And right now, there's almost nothing being done to turn those, what potential there is inside, into skills that can be used on the outside, take people off the public dole. In New York State, it costs $60,000 a year to keep someone in prison and to turn them into taxpayers. And the majority of people, again, contrary to public opinion, the people inside do want to become exactly that. They want to become productive members of society outside.
Let me just interrupt you for a minute before we run out of time, because the points you're making are great. But you talk about outside perception, and one of the things that John Lennon said in his op-ed piece in the New York Times is that New York had a program which was funded by the state, but that the governor canceled it after there was protest over public sector money going to it. Do you think that he has a good idea when he says there ought to be private enterprise involved in this?
Right now, that looks like the only viable option. What happened was Governor Cuomo proposed putting money into that program. That never happened in those programs because the political pushback was so harsh. And right now, again, we're still in a kind of vengeance mentality. And as John points out, this wouldn't be such an issue if the high cost of higher education were not such an issue for the average taxpayer. To my mind, that's a false either-or question. People on the outside are not costing the state $60,000 a year to take care of. It costs about $10,000 to give someone a AA degree, give them the means to get an AA or an AS degree, a two-year degree, and that reduces their recidivism chances by 75%. If that person stays out for a single year longer than they might have otherwise, that pays for six other people to get an AAS degree. You know, imagine if you put that savings back into state tuition, right? So the savings are really, really obvious.
All right. Also worth pointing out, of course, that not everybody is serving 28 years to life, and people are going to get out. And perhaps it's better for society if they get out at least partially educated rather than not. That's all the time we have. I'm sorry for that. Doran Larson, again,
no problem.
At Hamilton College, editor of Fourth City, Essays from the Prison in America. Thanks a lot for being on our program.
Thank you.